Good evening, everyone. I want to first of all thank Kolatora Kula, this incredible effort to try to bring us together in the study of Torah and in opportunities to be inspired. Thank you to Shlomo Hershey and the Chevra who put it together. And I'm honored and flattered to have the opportunity to share with you what I hope are some Divrei Chizuk will strengthen myself, and I hope with you together, collectively, a community who physically are apart, but emotionally and spiritually have never been closer together, a community of people who are supporting and encouraging, who are giving a chias, a sense of life and inspiration to one another. So again, thank you to Shlomo, thank you to Kol HaTorah Kula. What I really want to share with you this evening is the study of two sugyas, two separate topics, two topics that to a certain degree are in conflict or compete, but I really feel they complement each other beautifully, and they complement each other beautifully and are so critically important during this unusual, during this extraordinary time that we currently find ourselves in. Both of them have the same word in them, and that word is keva. The word keva means established or fixed, and on the one hand, when it comes to our davening, we're told, ha'osa tfilaso keva ein tfilaso tachanunim. If you make your davening keva, kva, if it's fixed, if it's habit, if it's rote, if it's become simply something that you recite and dismiss, then it's inauthentic, it's counterfeit. It's not a genuine form of davening. So on the one hand, we have a negative attitude towards keva. Keva breeds rote and habit. Rote and habit reflect inauthentic. On the other hand, we're told in the Gemara, in the highest praise, and we'll see and explore together, in three different makoros, in three different sources, we're told that hakoveya makom letfilaso. Our davening should happen in a set place. It's not enough to choose a shul. It's not enough to choose a minion in the shul. But we know that there is a value. We know, unfortunately, how much conflict has arisen from the value of having a makom kavu, a set and established place. And there the word koveya, keva, kva, is in a positive sense, to establish and to fix, to identify a set place. How do we reconcile these two things? And I think the answer to that question, for me, is what this unusual and frankly uncomfortable, inconvenient, and awkward time are really all about. On the one hand, we're out of our normal, ordinary routine. On the one hand, everything is different. Everything is unusual. Everything is upside down. Everything is on its head. We're not even sure from one moment to the next what will be. What is the world we're living in? What is our reality? We're told to consolidate the shul. And then we're told you have to cancel shul. And then we're told you can go out and you can't go out. Every moment it's changing. There's nothing which is predictable right now about our world and about our lives. And yet, on the other hand, it's as important, maybe more than ever, to establish kvias, to have some consistency, to create some patterns, to create some routines in our lives, particularly when it comes to our spirituality. I've said in other contexts, and I'll repeat now because this is my theme that is giving me meaning during this time. We've been knocked out of our normal routine, the ability to go to shul, to daven with a minion, to attend a shir, to volunteer for chesed, all the normal things that give us our very sense of life, ki hem chayenu v'orach yamenu. This is our life. It's the nourishment of our soul. It's what nurtures our entire being, on the one hand. And it's a crisis. It is nothing short of a crisis. The people who are quarantined voluntarily or obligated, the people who are socially distancing, people trying to figure out, it is a crisis. But in every crisis is an opportunity. And the opportunity within this crisis, I think, is something so beautiful. And I only hope and pray that when the crisis passes, the opportunity and our embracing it will last and leave an indelible permanent impression. And the opportunity that's presenting itself during this crisis is that while we are being denied the normal normative gathering place of a shul and a base kinesis, a base medrash, our homes, our personal lives have been transformed into those miniature shuls, into that miniature base medrash. Our homes are on fire. They are aglow. There's a passion and enthusiasm. The images of families davening together, learning together, spending time together. True, they don't post the images of wanting to kill each other in between together. But for the most part, we're not only getting along, we're not only surviving, but we are thriving. Yes, it's a crisis. And we cannot minimize that crisis, a crisis that is true for so many. But within that crisis is this opportunity. And that's the opportunity I want to speak to you about tonight. So the Mishnah in the fourth parak of Brachos, the fourth Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer teaches, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ha'osa tfiloso keva, ein tfiloso tachanunim. A person who establishes their davening as keva, what does it mean keva? What does it mean to make your davening keva? So listen to the words of the Rambam in his commentary on that Mishnah in Brachos. Rotza lomar binyan keva, sheyasim tfilaso kemish yeshlo esek, shehu mitzuva la'asoso. It's a burden that you have to accomplish. It's an obligation that you have to achieve. It's a check-off. Shacharis mincha marav, oh yeah, I set a reminder, I go to my minyan, I just got to discharge that obligation. I can't wait till I'm done. I can't wait till I can put the check mark. I can't wait till I'm finished. Check, check, check. Shacharis mincha marav, good to go. A person who's davening is just a routine. A person who is simply saying the words of the sitter, they get to the end of davening and they don't ever remember the journey of how they got there. That is the definition of keva. I'll never forget when we moved homes here in Boca several years ago. It may have been a week, 10 days later after we moved to another sub-community within our greater Boca community. And I'll never forget one day I was driving home from shul and I must have been on the phone or I was listening to something, and I found myself in the driveway of my old house. It was 10 days after we had moved, but I was in the driveway of the old house. Because there are things in our lives that we do, we're stepping on the gas, we're stepping on the brake, we're manipulating the steering wheel, and we don't ever remember any of those actions. We don't remember putting the car in drive. We remember pulling out of the driveway, and we remember arriving at our destination, and we remember nothing about how we got there. And for too many people, that is our davening. We remember the beginning, and we remember when we're done, when it's over, when we can kiss the sitter and close it, and can say goodbye, but everything in between, the journey, is lost on us. It's become keva. It's rote. It's an obligation that we are fulfilling. It's an obligation that we are discharging. The Sama Rebbe once had at one of weddings, Rebbe Pesach Krohn tells the story, a barchan who would perform. A barchan is somebody who brings some comedy, some joy, some festivity to the occasion, and often imitates, makes fun, jokes, a Hasidic comedian of sorts. And the barchan asked the Rebbe for permission in advance. The Rebbe had a very distinct way of davening, where he would shuckle and he would flail his arms, and his passion and his intent was on display. Everyone who saw it, it was clearly something which was visible. And so the barchan asked the Rebbe if he would mind, as part of his routine, to entertain the attendees at the wedding, back when there could be attendees at a wedding, b'mehira v'yameinu again soon, whether to entertain the attendees, he could imitate the Rebbe. And the Rebbe said, absolutely. So the barchan begins to perform, and he's shuckling fervently, and he's flailing his arms violently, and he's showing passion, and the Rebbe starts to cry. And the barchan comes up to him and says, why are you crying? Rebbe, I asked you for permission, and you said it was okay. And the Rebbe turned to him and he said, you know why I'm crying? You did nothing wrong. I told you it's all right. You know why I'm crying? Because I've come to realize that if you so easily could imitate me, then maybe when I'm davening, I'm imitating me. Maybe that shuckling, maybe that passion, maybe that fervor is not genuine, it's not real, it's not ongoing or consistent. Maybe if you can so easily imitate me, maybe I'm just imitating me. And that's the ha'osa tfilaso keva. When we imitate ourselves, when the davening we recite that shacharis mincha marav, when that shmona esrei remains fixed, the same knowledge, the same mindfulness, the same transformation that we had when we were 10 years old is the same amida when we're 20, 30, 50, and 80 years old. There's nothing new. There's nothing fresh. There's nothing vibrant. There's nothing alive. Such a davening is inauthentic. Such a davening is counterfeit. Such a davening is a cheap imitation. It is a poor, poor imitation of ourselves. And the Rambam writes, like I have something I have to do. I got to go to the store. I got to go to work. I got to take out the garbage. And I have to say shacharis mincha and marav chas v'shalom. Writes the Rambam. And all the Mefarshim way, and similarly, the Bar Tanur writes, Tfilaso doma elav kamaso, it looks like it is a burden. V'lashon keva she'omer, chok kavua alai lehispalel, v'tzarach ani latzeis mimena. What does it mean that it's keva? What does it mean that it's fixed? It means it's an obligation. I have to brush my teeth, and I've got to get enough sleep, and I got to take out the garbage, and I got to pay the bills, and I have to daven. What can I do? A person who brings this attitude, a person who brings this perspective towards davening, eino tachanunim. Their davening is not real. It's not alive. It doesn't connect them to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It doesn't transform ourselves. It doesn't leave us changed. We have failed to tap into the power and the koach of tefillah, which is to become different people when we walk out than the ones we were when we walked in, to feel a sense of confidence, a feel sense of serenity and calm, to know that Hashem has our back, that He is in charge, that when I'm not davening, in between my davening, it's all up to me. But while I'm davening, it's all up to God. It has been said, when I take initiative, when you work, work like it depends on you, and when you pray, pray like it depends on God. For us, we know ultimately we take our initiative, but it is all in God's hands. And so this first comment, the first perspective we have that I think so much relates to the time that we are in is that this, my friends, is not business as usual. I'll tell you a little secret. No day in our life is business as usual. Every morning you wake up, you have no idea what could happen. No idea what could happen. This week in our community, there were 5 deaths, 5 Shiva emails. I officiated at the funeral of a Rachmana Letzlan, a 29-year-old young man. We never know what could happen in any given day that we wake up. There is no day that you can have confidence. There is no day that can be business as usual when it comes to our faith, our davening, what we take for granted, what we fail to appreciate. You know, there's a famous machlokas, a famous debate between the Ramban and the Rambam. Is davening a biblical obligation and mandate, or is it rabbinic in nature? One says it's only biblically obligated, beis tzara, in a moment of crisis, like now. And the other says, no, every single day there's an obligation to daven once a day. Our template, our formula of davening, that's rabbinic. The rabbis gave us 3 times a day and the Shemona Esrei to recite the 19 brachos. But the mandate to daven, one says once a day, and the other says beis tzara. Rabbi Soloveitchik said the Ramban and the Rambam aren't really arguing. They both agree. The driver, the obligation to daven, to pray, is be'ez tzara, when there's a crisis. One says there's a crisis when there's a pandemic, but ordinarily you wake up in the morning, you get through your day, it's an ordinary day, and the other says no. Every day in anyone's life is a potential crisis which is averted. If you go to sleep with the same head count in your home that you had when you woke up, if your organs and limbs are working, if your body is functioning, if your mind is working, if you have a roof over your head and food to eat, then you are lucky. You're the exception, not the norm, particularly in this climate, in this time when there's so much uncertainty and doubt, so much unemployment, so much health crisis and failure. There is no business as usual right now. And so even if we struggle in our davening, even those of us who it's not easy, it's the same words, it's the same obligation. How can it not feel like a burden? We have to study it. We have to learn it. We have to find the phrase which resonates for us in it. We have to find a group who elevate and bring out the best of us. An atmosphere which is going to drive us for our best. And there's no shortage of opportunities. A shameless plug. Every day, 6-minute sitter snippets. Going through the sitter one line at a time to understand that it's not business as usual. This is not a time to make our tefillah so keva. Because then it's not tachanunim. This is a time for tachanunim. Do you know how many hospitals and communities, not only in this nation, across the world, and not that it matters, but also in Jewish communities specifically, are running out of ventilators and respirators? And despite what the experts are telling us, which is true, that there's a demographic who are at the greatest risk, there are countless young people who are struggling with this horrific virus. And so if you have air in your lungs, if you have an ease with which you can breathe, kol ha-neshama tahalokah haleluka. The Medrash Chazal say, don't read it, kol ha-nishama, with all of my soul. Read it, kol ha-nishima tehalaka. With every breath I take, I praise you and I thank you, Hashem. Ordinarily, breathing is a reflex. We don't think about it. It's like me getting in the driveway of my old house. We never have to stop and pause and consider. Ordinary breathing is something we take for granted. But right now, and during this time when too many are struggling to breathe, gasping for air, struck by this horrific virus and pandemic, not kol ha-nishama tahalaka, kol ha-nishima, with every breath, God, I feel you. I feel your support and your love. I feel your blessing and your gift to me. And I will not take it for granted. Kol ha-nishama, with my full neshama, kol ha-nishima, with every breath I take, tahalaka, I praise you and I thank you and I appreciate you. If this doesn't jar us and shake us and wake us from a davening which is keva, which is fixed and rote and habit, we are discharging an obligation, we are simply checking off a box, and doesn't move us to the category of tachanunim, to be alive and awake and vibrant and enthusiastic and passionate. If you don't have people to daven for, email me, text me privately. I'll give you a long list of those who are looking to get married and those who are struggling to have a child, of those who don't know how they're going to pay the bills, of those who are struck by this virus. Think about the people whose simchas have been thwarted because of this. Think about the people who are with such uncertainty. Think about the people who are emailing me today, Rabbi, if we have to quarantine or socially distant, and I'm a single who lives alone, what will my Pesach look like? What will my Siddurim be by myself? If you have a shortage of things to daven for, my friends, you have the most to daven for because you are in such an unusual position in your life. Be grateful. Say thank you. This is no longer a time for keva. It is a time for tachanunim. Wake up and be shaken from that sense of habit and rote. Listen, whenever I woke up, I can anticipate and predict and be confident I'm going to have my health and my life and my money and my good things. There's nothing predictable. If this crisis has taught us one thing, it is that how humble and modest we should be. Every one of you, in whatever venue, and we've got multiple screens going on over here, wherever you're listening, there's not a person who's watching who 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, I told you that the whole world and the United States of America will be on lockdown. Every restaurant and bar will be closed. Every sports organization, all sports atmosphere arenas will be on hiatus. That the stock market will have plummeted and returned to its levels of almost 4 years ago. You would have looked at me like I was crazy. Nobody would have believed it. If this teaches us nothing else, it teaches us how unpredictable our lives are. And when we wake up in the morning and we open that Siddur or that Tehillim, or we offer what is the most authentic form of prayer, which is the one from our heart, the one we write with our soul, the one not just the words, though we have to say them, but the ones that we author ourselves when no one is around, the Hispodidus that we practice, or when we're together with our family and we go around to share the things that we're thankful for. But these are the days that they cannot have a tefillah, which is keva. There is nothing established or fixed about our davening. There's nothing predictable, habit, or rote about our lives. It must be tachanunim, heartfelt, deep, authentic, genuine, yearning, longing, turning to Him, and pleading. Hashem, put things back to the way they were. Make them better than ever. Sustain us, those whose health are failing, those whose finances are collapsing, those whose simchas have been compromised. Ribono Shel Olam, Almighty, you are the Kel Na Rafan Allah. You are the source of all healing. You are the greatest expert. You are the health department. You are the treasury. You are everything. And as much as we take our initiative and make our effort in this world, we must take our effort, make our initiative when it comes to tefillah, our prayer to Hashem. And therefore, point number one, it was that we transform our davening during this time. If we want to weather the storm and come out on the other side, not only unscathed, but within this crisis, an opportunity to become even better, to improve ourselves, to discover capacity within ourselves and the people around us, then it begins with turning our davening from keva to tachanunim, to be genuine and real, to think of names and people and images and circumstances, and to daven from the bottom of our hearts for those people and for ourselves. So on the one hand, we have a Gemara, a Mishnah in Brachos that tells us, Ha'usa tfilaso keva. Keva's bad. Keva's the enemy. Keva's the adversary. It can't be fixed and it can't be rote and it can't be something which is static. And yet, we have three sources that tell us the exact opposite direction. And with this, I want to give you and me some chizik about the fact that we can't daven in shul, which is heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. I have the great benefit. I live next door to our shul. Our shul's on lockdown. It's closed. And I'll tell you a little secret. I haven't told anyone yet. But every day I've been coming to daven by myself in the shul because it's unbearable for me, the thought that our sanctuary is empty. The image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Ribono Shel Olam. In a dark and quiet room that used to be filled with sounds and back-to-back multiple minyanim and the people congregating before and after, it's unbearably painful to think that it's closed down and that it's been silenced. And that's, I'm sure, it's unbearably painful for you, the struggle to daven authentically, and the struggle of being distanced, that those words should be an anathema to us. Social distancing, that's just a horrific phrase that shouldn't be part of our vocabulary ever again. Social distancing, distancing from shul. Have we imagined a time that the shuls across the planet were closed down simultaneously, not out of hate, but out of love for one another? It's so unbearably painful. How do we get through it? So the pasuk tells us in Bereishis Vayashkim Avram Baboker Lamakom Asher Amad Sham Az Pnei Hashem that Avram woke up in the morning and he went back to the place that he had previously davened. And from here, the Gemara Brachas on Davavam and Beis tells us Amr Bichelba Amr Bihuna Kol Akovei Amakom Letvilasa Elokei Avram BeEzro. A person who establishes a set place for their davening, the God of Avram is by your side. You feel alone or isolated? You know who's not quarantined right now? You know who needs no hazmat suit? You know who's in every one of our homes and by every one of our sides simultaneously, even by those who are sitting in isolation? the Ribono Shalom, the Almighty Elokei Avram Be'ezro. He is by our side. He is with us. There is no quarantining God. He never has to withdraw or be in isolation. He doesn't wear a hazmat suit and he doesn't pose a threat and he doesn't have to hold back from hugging us or holding our hand. So how do we feel his presence? How do we draw him? How do we connect with him? The Gemara tells us, Chazal, our rabbis tell us, Kol HaKoveya Makom L'Tfiloso, if you make a set place for your davening. Not only that, Kishemes Omrim Lo, when such a person after 120 years leaves this world, an individual who had a set place for their davening was Koveya Makom, Ianav Ichasav Mitamidav Sha'avram Avinu. Chazal tell us at their funeral, at the eulogy of an individual, such a righteous person who always had a set place for davening, they say, wow, such was the disciple, a progeny of Avram Avinu. What a humble person. What a righteous person. The Gemara further, Daf Zayin, gives us another makor. It says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Shimon ben Yochai Kol HaKaveh Makom L'Tfiloso Oivam Noflam Tachtov. If you have enemies, be they visible enemies, be they invisible enemies, like a virus. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Shmuel that if you make a set place for your davening, that's all you have to do. Daven in a set established place, oivav noflam tachtav. The enemies fall from before us. And lastly, it's a Yerushalmi in Brachos. Yerushalmi says, Amar Rabbi Yavar, Rabbi Chiyah, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Tzorach Adon L'Spal, Makom Shem Yuchad L'Tfila. A person has to daven in a place which is established, which is set aside for davening. Why? Why is it so important? Isn't what matters the quality of my davening, the concentration of my daven, the comprehension of my davening, my mindfulness while I daven, who I'm thinking about while I daven? What in the world is so important about having a set place for davening? How many fights have happened in shuls? You're in my makom kavua. I got it before you, you weren't on time, move over. And it's a horrible thing. There should never be a fight in a shul. One is not entitled to their makom kavua, their set place, certainly not if they're not on time or early for davening. And the halacha, because this is codified in Shulchan Aruch Simen Tzadi, an Orach Chaim, that within Dalet Amos, within 6 feet, it's interesting, we're supposed to distance, social distancing is 6 feet. So a person's makom, a person's set place, is defined in halacha as 6 feet. So if you are within 4 amos, 6 feet of where you ordinarily daven, you're still in your makom kavua. So someone's sitting in your seat, halavai will have this problem again very soon, you come back to shul, someone's in your seat, if there's another seat within 6 feet, a circumference, a circle around of 6 feet, don't kick them out. You're good to go. You have still fulfilled a makom kavua. But why is it so important? What matters is how much you concentrate, how well you daven, how much you sing, how alive you are, how present you were when you said the words. Why in the world does it matter? Why does it matter so much? So there are many interpretations, the Kaf HaChayim and the Rashba, the Yang, they all give different interpretations. It's like a korban, and the korban requires makom. There's a lot of different interpretations which are offered. But where does it come from? The Gemara says that if you have your makom kavua and you daven there, then you are a disciple of Avram. The God of Avram is by your side. Why is the God of Avram by your side? Why are you like Avram by having this makom kavua? And why are you defined as, why are you eulogized as being somebody who is righteous, as somebody who is modest? So Rabbeinu Yonah writes, the great Italian medieval commentary, Rabbeinu Yonah writes, Tama davar kol kavei makom tzvosu l'kei Avram be'ezro, shekevin shekol kachu ohev his tefillah. Because a person who loves davening so much, you're on time and you daven in a set place and you have a certain pattern and you take davening with a certain level of seriousness. When you reflect that level of passion and commitment for davening, it's obvious that you must be a humble person. Because you know what prayer is all about? Humility. It's an exercise in humility. You stand up and you stand before the Almighty and you say, God, I take my initiative, I take my steps, I do what I have to, and then I let go and I let God. I am in your hands. You are the one, your providence, it's all up to you. So by taking davening seriously and having a set place to daven is an expression of taking davening seriously. By taking davening seriously, it shows a level of humility because only the humble person realizes, I'm not in power, I'm not in control, I turn to and I defer to God. There's another commentary on the Gemara Brachos, the Toldot Zev, who says the following very interesting idea. He says, you know why you're humble? Because if you have a set place in shul, it means that you haven't had a fight with anybody. It means that you haven't had to find another shul or another minion. It means that you don't feel you've been wronged by the gabbai and you're never coming back there again and the person sitting next to you didn't do this and the person this, that. You're humble and you're modest and you're righteous. If you have a set place, it means you get along with everybody. It means you're a person who's not needy. It means that you're a person who's humble and modest. That's the pshat that he offers. But I want to close, I want to share with you in our last few minutes together an incredible interpretation and one that I hope will impact, inspire, and influence us as we are being denied and deprived gathering in our holy shul and forced to daven privately and individually within our homes. Rabbeinu Yonah makes another incredible comment. It appears in Daf Gimel Amud Beis in the Dapei Arif, Rabbeinu Yonah in his commentary in the back of the Gemara in Brachos. And Rabbeinu Yonah says the following. When the Gemara praises a person who's Kovei Makom, who establishes a set place for their davening, where is it talking about? A set place for your davening where? A set place for your davening in the shul? Or a set place for your davening in your home? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, in shul, you don't need a makom kavua. Why not? Because the whole shul is your makom kavua. A shul is a designated place for davening. Some people didn't get that memo. They think it's for talking or doing business or coming for kiddush. But a shul is a set place for davening. So says Rabbeinu Yonah. The Gemara, our Chazal, our rabbis didn't have to tell us that a person should establish a set place in shul to daven. The whole shul is a set place for davening. What was the Gemara talking about? Kol hakoveya makom latvilaso means in your home. You can't just daven sometimes the living room, sometimes the dining room, sometimes the backyard, sometimes the kitchen, sometimes the ear, sometimes the hallway, sometimes by straightening up, sometimes by putting away the toys, sometimes while cleaning the dishes, sometimes while... That's not a davening. Just like the shul is the set established place for davening, which elevates and enriches my whole experience by creating a climate, a culture, an atmosphere, which is going to promote a sense of concentration and transformation of davening, so too in my home, says Rabbeinu Yonah, I need to find a set place. My friends, for these days that we're davening in our homes, designate a spot. Maybe you have a shtender, maybe you have a chair, maybe you have a room, maybe you have a corner. Make that your set place for your davening, to be koveya a makom tfila, even within the home. The shul doesn't need you to be koveya a makom. The home does. The Meiri also writes, Roy la adam likvo a makom tfilaso shkolachka a makom miyuchad lo tfila, kavanaso metzu bioser. Because the more you have a set place, and the more you have a set routine, the more you're going to tap into your davening. And the more genuine and authentic, the more elevating it will be. Says the Meiri too, we're talking about when there is no shul you can go to. When you have no shul, and there is no minyan, and you have to daven in your home, that's what the Gemara meant, to be koveya amakom. But I want to close, listen to this. By the way, the Shevet HaLevi quotes this lahalacha. Rav Vosner Zatzal of Bnei Brak, in his Tshuva Shevet HaLevi, Chelek Yud, Simen Kuf Lamed Hei, he writes, a person should have a cheder svarim, a library, a study, a bookcase, a shtender. There should be a designated set place within our homes. That's where I go to daven. That's where I go to convene with Hashem. That's where I go for an intimate rendezvous with my Creator. That's where I go to shut out the rest of the world, to close off those distractions, to put them away while I concentrate and I'm present fully with Hashem. Based on this, Rabbeinu Yonah, true, the Shulchan Aruch recorded in Siman Tzadi that Kol HaKaveya Makom HaTfilo means the shul, but the Magen Avraham quotes that Rabbeinu Yonah and says, in our homes too, we should follow this practice. Indeed, the Sefer Tameh HaMinhagim writes, Tameh HaMinhagim writes in Daf Ayin Aleph, the take of Bavo Ladur Be'ez Abayis, that the moment, I don't know if we have any realtors on the line calling in, any listening, but the moment that you sell a home, when you have a home and someone moves into their home for the first time, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem Yivcha La'atzma Makan Kavua Yafa V'naki V'yomar B'pem Malay Zeha Makam Ani Bocher L'Hespala Shem Yivcha Kutru Brichu L'yos Makam Kavua L'Hespala Ani U'Besi V'chol Yisrael. When you go into your home, a person should say that I am in my home. This is my space. This is my corner. This is where I am to daven. Some of us now have to lead the shul with the kids around us. Absolutely. Now we are the rabbis and the presidents and the gabbai within our own home. We've transformed our homes into that shul. So you hear that Sefer Tameh HaMinhagim? When you first move into your home, and it's never too late, even if it hasn't happened yet, you come and you designate that shtender, that corner, that bookcase, that library, that study, that room, and you say, this is a room for me and my family, which I've designated, Zeh HaMakom Ani Bocher, L'Shem Yirchel Kutshu Brichu, L'Yos Makom Kavua, V'Yiratzon Shetishra Shechina B'Makom Hazeh, and may it be your will, God, that you will dwell here in this place, Kimo B'Chol Batei Kenes Yoshem Yisrael, that God, just as you dwell in shuls, may you dwell within my home, in this designated spot, in this designated space. And if you do that, then you can achieve transforming your home, the sanctity and the holiness within the home, to be like the shul. I close with one last thought of the Sfas Emes, and then I bid you all a good night. Says the Sfas Emes, why did the Gemara compare that if a person is Koveya Makom, then you are like Avram Avinu, and you're humble, and you're righteous? Where did that come from? So listen to what the Sfas Emes says. He says, you know, when Avram davened, he wasn't able to combine. He didn't have a minion. There were no other righteous people. This was after Stone. There were no other righteous people. There were no who qualified. Nobody who were candidates to be part of his minion. He had to daven alone. Sometimes you can't be with a minion. Sometimes you can't be in shul because there's no other righteous people to join with. Because sometimes it's a din, you don't have enough people. And sometimes it's the place, we can't go there. Social distancing, quarantining. But you know when Elokei Avram be'ezro, even though Avram was alone, God was with him. Because he was Koveya Amakom. He went back to that place that he had designated to be with God. So even when we are denied and deprived to be able to gather collectively in shul, when we designate a set place in our home to daven, we are the disciples of Avram. And we too merit Elokei Avram be'ezro, that the God of Avram is by our side, who has our back. He will help us through this. Shahaya yachid ki lo yasham shum oved Hashem kamoso, kamokin kisha adam yodeo mevin to'elas, atzom bezbalu b'nei atzma kishav yamakom be'ezro. Similarly, says the Sfas Emes, we can turn our homes into shuls. It's not just a nice homiletical idea. When this is all over, you got to turn your home back into a home and come back to shul. Don't think this becomes an excuse or something permanent. But for now, don't be depressed and don't be despondent. Yes, it's a crisis, but it's also an opportunity, and that we can find the help and the love of Hashem. Elokei Avram be'ezro, yihi ratzon. Hashem, may it be your will that we indeed succeed in breaking out of the rote and the habit, in turning our davening from keva, from being fixed, to become tachanunim, authentic and genuine, heartfelt pleas, that it leaves us more connected to you than ever. While we're distancing and quarantining from others, we are connecting and coming closer to you more than ever. And thereby in that merit, Hashem, may you heal the entire globe. May you protect and preserve our health and well-being. May you sustain all those who need help. May we gather together in this venue and others to learn. L'Hagdil Torah, L'Hadir. All well. Have a great night. Thank you.